بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله. وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: إن الله على كل شيء قدير. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: يا غلام، ألا أعلمك كلمات؟ احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، إذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعين بالله. واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر، وأن الفرج مع الكرب، وأن مع العسر يسرا، إلى آخر الحديث. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، علماء كرام، respected elders and dear brothers, I have related one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is very, very relevant to the global situation at this moment. The chaos, the mayhem, the disaster that we see unfolding in the world around us, the turmoil, the turbulence. This hadith gives us a direct guidance and instruction to the Muslim Ummah, to the believers, what is to be done, what is the cause of action in the turbulent times that we are living in. My dear friends, a little background with regard to this hadith before we go into the explanation of the hadith itself. There is a little background to this particular hadith, like we have ayats have certain backgrounds. Certain ayat was revealed at a certain time, in a certain circumstance, certain background, is called shane nuzul, the circumstances for the revelation of a particular ayat. On a particular occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a certain ayat. There's a history behind that ayat. There's a cause or a reason or a factor for the revelation of a particular verse. That's called shane nuzul. In a similar way, when it comes to the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a background, and many ahadith are set in a particular background, and it helps very much in understanding the meaning of the ahadith or the ayat if a person understands and comprehends, and he understands and realizes the background to this particular ayat or this ahadith. Background to this hadith is that once a very eminent sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the cousin of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of his uncle Abbas. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator of this hadith. And he narrates this hadith, or he memorized this hadith, when he was merely a child of 6 or 7 years of age. And he gives the whole background to this hadith, how it occurred, the circumstances. He says that I was a little boy, and kuntu ridfan Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I was riding as a passenger on an animal or a conveyance with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sitting behind him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was riding the animal, and Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a little boy of 5, 6 or 7 years old, was the passenger riding on this animal along with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the circumstance in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this hadith, these words, and Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu learnt and memorized these words. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all, addressed him while he was sitting on the camel as a passenger, and he said to him, Ya Ghulam, Ala u'allimuka kalimat. O my young friend, young boy, young man, ala u'allimuka kalimat. Shall I not teach you some words, some sentences? We know the word kalimat is the plural of the word kalima. We learn our kalimas. Kalimat, certain important sentences or words that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wished to teach Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So, after addressing him in this manner, thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says these words to him, these kalimas, and Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu learns these kalimas from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after having learnt it, he then does his duty of conveying it. And it has been conveyed in this manner over the centuries. 1400 years have gone past. These kalimat have been conveyed from person to person, heart to heart, over the centuries, until alhamdulillah, we, after 1400 centuries, sitting thousands of kilometers away from the place where these words were uttered, we are able to utter and hear and narrate and understand those same words that were related by Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the ummah, which he received as a trust and amanat from Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. My dear friends, before we go into the explanation of the words itself, a very significant point for every one of us to ponder and consider. Look at the fact that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a young boy. Notwithstanding that fact, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses him. He speaks to him. And he offers to teach him certain very, very important aspects of our deen. Certain very weighty, mighty, powerful words. That if we understand the implication of these words, the very core of iman, the very essence of our iman, our faith, are encapsulated in these words that were taught by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So notwithstanding the fact that he's a mere 5, 6 years or 7 years of age, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees in him the potential, and he conveys these words to him, and he teaches these words to him, and this is how we have received these words. So my dear friends, a very significant point for every one of us to ponder and think about is that teach the young ones, whether it's our own children, whether it's children in our family or anyone, if we get an opportunity of conveying some good words, some good advices to even young children, young people, we should not hold back from conveying to them what we know, what we've learned, because it is at that stage of their life that their hearts are like a clean slate. It is like a piece of clay or putty that can be shaped and molded in any shape in the hands of a person. Whatever is going to be written on that slate, that is what is going to remain on there. They say in Arabic, al-ilmu fi sigar kan naqshi al-hajar. Knowledge that is acquired in childhood, it is like the engraving on a rock. It cannot be obliterated. Over years and years, that what has been engraved in rock, it will remain there for decades, centuries on end. Those people who go to visit these certain historic sites and so on, where they see that people have etched out or carved out or engraved in rock, centuries have gone past, but those pictures or those diagrams or drawings or illustrations are still visible to a person after so many centuries. So that knowledge which is embedded and which is carved and etched out and engraved in the heart of a young child in his childhood, that is what remains till the end of the life. And this is what has a lasting impression on the heart of a child. Therefore we, as parents of our own children, before anyone else, we should be imparting to them wonderful advices. We should be talking to them about Iman Yaqeen. We should be talking to them about the realities of faith. We should be talking to them about the power and Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be talking to them about the might of Allah, as we will find in this wording of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all relating to the power, the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be talking to them about the predestination, taqdeer, the aspects of Iman, the Akhirat. So that when these become embedded in their hearts, inshallah, for a lifetime it will remain. And inshallah, no negative influences will be able to remove or obliterate what has been etched in their hearts in that childhood. Therefore we find, my dear friends, that these words were conveyed by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this young child. In this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us a lesson. This is also a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And especially when he's riding the animal, at that time, there's no other activity a person is engaging. So this time can be made constructive. This time can be made productive. We're traveling in the car, we're going on holiday, we're going somewhere. Instead of just sitting around and looking idly at the sceneries around us, or just passing the time, talking useless or frivolous or nonsensical things, that time can be made constructive. If that time is made constructive, either we convey some good message, or through the CDs or tapes of our learned ulama, scholars, we play those in our cars, the little ones that are hearing, this will become engraved in their minds, inshallah al-Aziz. So let us try to fulfill this sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometime in our life at least. Allah give me and you the tawfiq. And sometimes when we're traveling in the car, give some nasihat and advice to the children. And remember one thing, my dear brothers, what advice is given by the parents to the children, that is a lifelong gift that you have given to your children. They may forget sometimes during the course of their life what advices you may have given them. But be certain about one fact, that one day or the other, those advices will come back to them, even later on in their life. When they've reached a certain advanced age, those advisors will keep coming back to them, and they will recall those advisors, and they will remember those advisors fondly, with appreciation. Maybe they won't appreciate it in that young age of theirs, but later they will appreciate it, and it will come back to you like a record that has been replayed in your mind. It is as if a replay button will be pressed every time, and yet it will come back to you, those memories. My father said this, my mother said this. And you will be reading for them and sending sawab and making dua for them. It's one of the best ways of ensuring that we will share in the good works our children do. It's one of the best ways of securing isal e sawab for ourselves after we are gone. If a father says to his children, very important to read salat, it's a connection, a communication between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh my children, read your salah 5 times a day. Whether the children are reading the salat because of what advice the father gave them or not, but because the father was instrumental, he gave them advices, he will have a share in all the good works that they do. This is one of the best ways of acquiring isal e sawab. Allah give us tawfiq, that more and more in our homes, that deeni talks, good advices, nasihat, etc. has been given. And this will overpower, inshallah, all the filth and the haram and the evil and the vice that is so prevalent in our communities. Nevertheless, my dear brothers, since the time is very limited, I will try to speak about these advices that, or these words that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu received from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I said it's very relevant to our times. Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commences and he says to him the first thing, احفظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. Oh my dear boy, protect Allah and Allah will protect you. This is the direct translation of the words, protect Allah and Allah will protect you. Now the question arises that what protection does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need? How do we protect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'azallah, is not in need of some kind of a advanced security system or some security company or some kind of alarm system or panic button or something that we can give Allah protection. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith says here, ihfazillah, protect Allah. The meaning the ulama give is very much similar to that ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, In tansurullah yansurkum. If you help Allah, Allah will help you. The question arises, what help does Allah need? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need us to do some task for Him, some chores for Him, to carry out some work of His? No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of help from us in that way. But the ulama say the ayat here means, in tansuru deen Allah. If you help the deen of Allah, if you help the makhluk and creation of Allah, yansurkum, Allah will help you. Similarly, if you protect Allah, Allah will protect you. The meaning here is, if you protect the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. And today, my dear brothers, safety, security, protection, the preservation of our existence, of our human existence, of our life, this has become the major issue of the nations of the world. What is the whole problem in the world today? Everybody is worried about their safety and security. No country feels safe in the world today. No nation feels safe. No community feels safe. No individual is feeling safe in the world today. Everyone is concerned about their safety and protection. On an international level, the countries of the world are terrified, petrified of certain hyperpowers who are gone hyper and just attacking at whomsoever they wish to attack. The countries of the world are all concerned. The greatest and gravest concern of most of the countries of the world is safety and security and protection. Alhamdulillah, a few days ago I went to Pakistan. Traveling around here and there in Pakistan, the impression one gets is that the whole country is just military everywhere, besides the military rule. But everywhere you see, you just see signs of military activity, army camps and cantonments and so on. And speaking to our host, we asked them that how come there's so much of military activity here? They say that 70% of the budget of that country is spent on the military and military equipment and hardware and upgrading because of the fear and the concern they have with regards to the safety and protection of the state of the country. So this is the type of fear that prevails in the world today. The fear, the concern for one's safety, protection, that's on an international level where countries are just invaded. Infrastructure is bombed to smithereens. Ordinary citizens of the country are simply just blown to pieces. There's no hifaza, there's no safety, there's no protection on an international level. On the community level, on an individual level, we don't have to go to any other community. Let's talk about our own situation in this country in terms of the crime. What kind of fear there is and how everyone is concerned about safety, protection, and how much we fear going outside our homes at night. Like some visitor who came to this country, he says that the way the people are living here, that it seems as though the ordinary citizen, the law-abiding citizen is behind bars and the criminal is roaming around freely. But that's the reality of the situation. Criminals are roaming around freely and the law-abiding citizen has to live behind high walls, electric fences, and all of these are just safety measures within human limits. Those can also be, what man makes, man can break. What man devises, man can overcome. So with all the safety and security, there's always some way they find to get behind it and get past it. So my dear friends, the issue of safety and security and protection, this is a major concern in the hearts of everyone. And this has been addressed in this hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The opening words to this young boy, the advice, ihfazillaha yahfazka, protect Allah, meaning protect Allah's hukam, protect Allah's commands, and then get your safety and protection directly from Allah. Yahfazka, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you and Allah will be your guardian. Allah is going to be your protector. Then no harm will befall you. Then whether it's on an international level, whether it's on a community or an individual level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your hifazat. And there have been countless incidents like this in the history of the world, my dear brothers. That in the most precarious of circumstances, the most dangerous and hazardous of circumstances, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there to protect people. We don't need to look for any other example. Look at the example of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The house is surrounded. The enemies are with their swords unsheathed. Or in our days we will say with their guns loaded. And waiting for Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam to emerge from the house. And the nefarious intentions, ma'adallah, was to assassinate Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the spot. And each of them was going to attack him jointly and collectively, so that nobody would have to carry the individual blame. And in that way, they felt that nobody would have had to carry the responsibility, so there would be no retribution. But with all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such hifazat and protection of his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shahatil wujuh, wa ma ramayta idh ramayta walakin Allah rama. When you threw the stones in the faces of the kuffar with the word shahatul wujuh, Allah says that, oh my beloved Nabi, it was not you who threw, but it was Allah who threw. Your hands were doing the action of throwing, but in actual fact, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. Allah is the one who threw. And those stones blinded all of those people. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a cool walk right through their midst. They couldn't even see him going past. And he came out totally unscathed. And he went on this journey of hijrah. And again in the cave of Thawr, we find again, who is there that protected Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu? That is huma fil ghar, idh yaqulu li sahibihi la tahzan, inna allaha ma'ana. Again Allah's protection is there. The enemy are standing at the foot of the cave. They just had to look in and they would have seen Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But who makes them blind? How the spider comes and makes the web there? How the pigeon comes and lays the egg there? All of this is Allah's hifazat and protection. So under the most difficult circumstances, when Allah wants to give you hifazat and protection, nobody can touch a hair on your body. And with all your means of protection, and all your 56 Muslim countries, with all the advanced weaponry of the world, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to make hifazat and protection, then one country, a little tiny country, in a little dot in the midst of 56 Muslim countries, they can't lift a finger to do anything to help their brethren when their brethren are being massacred and they are being assassinated and killed. My dear brothers, when Allah's hifazat is taken away, there's nobody that can make hifazat. And when Allah makes hifazat, then there's nobody that can harm. And this is the lesson that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is taught by Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that ihfazillah, protect Allah's commands, yahfazka, Allah will protect you. The ayat of the Quran Sharif tells us that Allah has got certain angels deputized who look after man every moment of his life. 24 hours security he has got, for which he doesn't have to pay 1 cent. لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah says that they are هُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Abdullah bin Abbas makes the commentary of this very ayat. He says هُمُ الْمَلَائِكَ. They are the angels of Allah who protect insan all the time. فَإِذَا قَدَرُوا أَمْرُ اللَّهِ فَإِذَا جَاءَ قَدَرُ اللَّهِ خَلُّوا عَنْهُ. But when the destiny and taqdeer of Allah comes, then those angels move away and then Allah's destiny will take place. My dear brothers, this is just one part of about 7 or 8 sentences in this particular hadith. But unfortunately, we don't have time to go into details. Let us understand and realize one thing. So long as we have our deen, so long as we hold fast unto the commands of Allah, and we do everything to protect Allah's commands, then Allah has taken responsibility for our protection. And the day we throw aside and we cast aside Allah's commands, in whichever form it may be, then my dear friends, we are on our own and Allah's protection has been taken away from us. This is the lesson this ummah has to learn. If we learn this lesson on an international level, on a national and community level and an individual level, then inshallah we have nothing to fear. But we conclude with dua. This Mubarak month is here of Rajab. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Allah, let us reach the month of Ramadan. But to reach Ramadan, let us go through Rajab and Sha'ban with barakat. And barakat in Rajab and Sha'ban means to shun all those things that take away barakat. Haram, sins. My dear brothers, let's go on a diet, a sin-free diet for 3 months. Allah give us tawfiq. Allah give us hidayat and understand. The appreciation of this month of Rajab and Sha'ban is that we shun guna and sin. At least turn the haram off. Take it out. Shun the haram things for this month, these 2 months. Engage in ibadat. Let's make our time constructive and productive. Free time, the tasbih is out, the Quran Sharif is out. Let us develop our connection with the Quran Sharif so that when the month of Ramadan comes, we're not struggling to complete our khatam in the month of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq. And make dua for our brothers in Palestine, in Gaza, in Kashmir, in Chechnya, in Somalia, in all the troubled spots and hot spots of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must give them His khas protection. Allah give them tawfiq to protect His commands. And so thereby, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can extend His protection to them and to all of us. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.